Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Here on WMR.FM. Happy New Year. Happy 2025, or perhaps better, I should say, hopeful 2025. Welcome to the start of the second quarter of the 21st century. I think we might agree that while the research and development departments and the production department did extremely well in the first quarter, we didn't hit anticipated targets on a number of key metrics, and we're going to have to try much, much harder in the second quarter of the century. Not sure if the managing directors made the right decision on, corporate management in the future. They adopted a throw-the-bums-out approach, and we'll see what the new group of bums do when it comes to structuring society and managing ourselves through the second quarter of the 21st century. But I think that by 2050, we'll have all this sorted. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Christine, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Sorry. I've been doing this how many years and I muted myself.
So this is like 2025 is the year of the snake in Chinese zodiac. Yeah, well, it tends to portend a time of great change. To as an example, previous snake years, a Russian czar and his entire family got shot. The Great Depression happened. World War II happened in 1941, or at least came home to Americans in 1941. And in 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacre happened. And for about a quarter of our listening audience, yes, it really did happen. That's going to get us taken off the air in a big chunk of the world. The years of the snake, for those who believe in such things, and I guess for those who don't, they tend to be years of upheaval. It's going to be a pretty crazy year, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll skip over even the politics part. Even the tech part is going to be a crazy year. Some of our stories will show today. So, yeah, I don't think I was hoping for a different 2025. Did I say 2025? Yeah.
You did. You got it right.
I got it right.
Make sure you get it right in print for the next couple of weeks.
Exactly. At least I don't have to write checks anymore, right? That first check you always wrote was like, oh, you have to scratch out the year because you put in the wrong one. So we'll see. But, so far, as of yesterday, it was not a good start in the United States, so hopefully it gets better, but we'll see what the year brings. Last year started off phenomenally and didn't go that way, so hopefully we have the reverse this year.
Well, we did in Webcology world. I'm really pleased with the way we left 2024. It's the end of the year as we knew it edition is, I don't know, it's getting passed around by people all over the place, especially over there on Blue Sky. That's really gratifying to see. That was a really fun episode. We're going to try to do a lot more like that in 2025. I think the world is going to be so complicated that we're going to have to try to draw a lot of interviews and expert opinions. And I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know where search is going in 2025, where the internet's going in 2025. All I know is everything is going to be turned over and look really different at this time next year.
I do note, though, we know this going into 2025, that to help clarify for people, help them understand better the whole world of AI and large language models, we will be bringing back Gavin Klondike, who we had on twice last year. He's an AI expert, speaks at major conferences like RSA, and also works at DEF CON on the AI Village. So he's always good to have on, help us understand these things better.
Yep. And it'll be good to understand these things because I have a feeling that At least Google. I don't know. I honestly can't say for Bing or any of the other search engines that are up and comers, but Google is tripling down on using AI to summarize concepts for its users and to find things that either its users its individual users are interested in, or people around its users are interested in. Google, there's a couple of our stories down
On the
our story
Gemini
grid are
rabbit
gonna
hole.
say, yeah, Gemini's gonna be everywhere.
Yeah, we have a few announcements before we get to that one, but that is definitely going to be a big thing this year.
We do. Okay, so it's gonna be a crazy year. I think in fact I think this entire show, the way that Christine's laid the topic grid out is a thesis on change coming up into 2026, or I'm sorry, going into 2025. So
Please
away we
get
go.
this
But
year.
before we do,
Before we do.
we really gotta thank Audience Key and Wix Studio, our two sponsors. They're honest to goodness, their sponsorship and your listenership allows us to do this weekly. This is the 19th year Webcology has been on the air. And we're
Woohoo!
entering the
I
19th,
haven't been
18th year, 19th year? 19th year, I think.
2006 or 7 is where I think it's the record starts. So
Well,
yeah.
probably the 18th year then. I lost track years ago.
We're
And
going
then again,
into the 19th. So.
that's because we've had loyal people. Like, just honest to goodness, we have listeners who've been listening to us since the very, very beginning. So, thank you for everything. I mean, it's an incredible ride, and it's just about to get weirder.
It is, and it's year three for me, being full time, half
Yeah,
time, half coast. What do you call it? A ghost.
a co-host. Yeah,
Ghost. Yeah. And day before that, I would fill in for him. So,
and it's been in just in 3 years, totally wild ride. Okay, let's get going. Spam date update ended on the day after Christmas. In much of the world, that would have been called Boxing Day. In America, that was called the 26th. That's, I guess, that's it. The spam update is over. If you were affected, you know it. If you weren't affected, it's over.
And what it targeted, in case you were affected, is, well, what it doesn't target. It targets people, sites that are violating the Google search spam policies. Does not target link spam, which is separate. It does not target the site reputation abuse policy either, which has never really been rolled out in an algorithm as we were told it would be in March last year. So it still has not been. It goes against the spam techniques, spam policies. You can find that in the Google developer documentation if you aren't sure. If you have been hit by it, make sure you go through it item by item and fix everything that you might have violated, because otherwise you will not recover your site.
It was a year of 2024 was a year of search ranking updates. There was a f in count seven major updates, three core updates. I'm sorry, four core updates and three spam updates from Google last year. A couple of the core updates were back to back.
Yeah, quite back to back. We had August into September, then, and then we skipped to November, then December, right after that one, and then we had a spam update right after that.
Yeah.
Also, just a little misnomer on the March one, though. Google calls the March core update a core update. It is di dissimilar from all other core updates. I cannot speak in 2025, apparently. It's a little bit different because it included a spam manual action, a spam update, a helpful content supposed update, which now we know that machine learning is broken, so who knows what happened with that. A core update that also ran that was supposed to include the HCU. We know that didn't happen, but it was supposed to. And then a final core update. So they call all of that a core update. But if you're hit between the beginning of March and the end of April, make sure you have someone help you evaluate what you were actually hit by, because unlike other core updates where it's just the core update algorithm, this one combined multiple algorithms into one set.
Well, again, that's why we started calling core updates the omnibus updates. That was the one in specific. It's because they threw so many things into it. But they've done that in the past. I mean, the September 2023 update had a number of things thrown into it at the same
Well, no,
thrown
they were
that
back to back.
introduced in conjunction with it, I should say.
Yeah. But they labeled them different. They did say it was H2 and they did say it was core and they did say it was spam. In this case, they just called it all the core update, which I know for site owners can get very confusing because they think like they have an update that they, because it was, there are actual dates inside that update where they started and stopped. So they don't overlap. They started with the manual actions and they did the spam algorithm. Then they moved to the core, the H2, then they moved to the core update. So they were all moved to inside that one big one. So it's a little bit of a misnomer for people trying to diagnose their sites from that period that it's just like a core update. The ones since then, though, have just been core updates. And you'll notice at the end of the year, they separated the spam out again.
The
Yep.
again, it's hard to say what the long-term outcome of a year of updates are, except that we're moving into a year of AI generated responses. I think, at least in the Googleverse, and this is going to be weird. I think this is the year that Google goes a relative a different direction than Bing and other search engines do. I think I got this feeling that Bing is going to remain fairly faithful to what search has been in the provision of a wide variety of options for the searcher of information options. Well, Google just wants to summarize and push the user to information. That's the vibe I'm getting moving into this year, and that seems to be the effect of all of those updates.
Probably we have an announcement from Sundar coming up in our stories here. We have a little bit of drama to cover before we get there, but I
We do,
agree.
and we got to jump to it. I don't
Yeah.
want to get into this job because it's just
Well,
so
it's not a
dumb. I
lot.
mean, my God, what is this with rich people? I mean, my
It's
God. Okay, so and you
true.
know what? We grew up with rich people. We honestly did. I mean, like, heck, we were surrounded by incredibly rich people when the internet was founding itself and search was starting in the early part of the 2000s, the first
Yeah.
quarter of the 21st century. But this group of rich people, I mean, they're bizarre. So Matt Mullenweg, the fellow who, basically started WordPress and a number of other tools that are out there used on the internet, but WordPress is his most biggest, most major impact tool. He
Yeah.
sort of went crazy last year. Now he's jumped into the discussion at the Reddit subreddit WP Drama, and
Yes.
has sort of taken over.
Then on Christmas Eve, he started with the title of the post, "What drama should I create in 2025?" He's very open to suggestions. Should we stop naming releases after jazz musicians and name them after Drake lyrics? Eliminate all dashboard notices? Take over plugins into the core? Change from blue to purple? I think we can brainstorm together and come up with better things than I could on my own. Also, Merry Christmas. It was met with 600 negative responses for the most part.
You
Because
ever
he's, yeah.
hang out with a 7-year-old and show them a Spider-Man movie, and then afterwards they have to pretend that they're Spider-Man?
Yes.
This guy's pretending to be Elon Musk.
Yeah, kind of. But I understand he's been problematic always, but just not this publicly problematic.
Yeah,
So I
well,
think.
the floodgates have opened, and now it's really easy to be problematic. And there's a whole template for being unreasonably, goofily problematic. And I'm telling you, this guy is trying to be Spider Musk.
Didn't he come from Y Combinator too? Or am I mistaken?
I honestly
Okay,
don't
I'll take
know,
it
but
back
I
and
do
look.
know that
It seems like there's a lot of Y Combinator people that are a little wacky.
Well, I think there's a technocratic philosophy that basically says we will order the world and you will fall into that order. But it reminds me of the underpants gnomes from South Park. Step one, steal the underpants. Step two, something or another. Step three, profit.
Yeah, it's something like that. That's pretty much our grid today. That's really our grid today. So anyway, so we can end this WordPress drama story fast. It's just basically Matt doing what Matt has done for the last 5 or 6 months, and getting everyone all riled up, and then, making people mad on Christmas Eve. There is one person though that's rebelling against it.
A incredibly prolific WordPress developer, Robert DeVore, has created code that created actually 3 dozen free plugins that will shut themselves down if they detect a website running on, for sure, running on Matt Mullenweg's WordPress
Dot com.
commercial platform,
Yeah,
dot
WordPress.com.
com
com. Yeah.
platform, and possibly on automatic platforms. I'm
Yeah.
not sure about the automatic part, but definitely WordPress.com commercial hosting platform. DeVore's products will shut themselves down if you're running that, and this is his way of, I guess, flipping the finger at Mullenweg. This is crazy,
Yes.
Christine. This is a degradation of the
You know,
ecosystem.
but I agree though. He's taking a stand. This is what he wrote: "Take a stand for the community. This script isn't just about restricting your plugin. It's a statement against the centralization and overreach demonstrated by WordPress.com and Automattic's lack of leadership. WordPress developers deserve a level playing field, free from monopolistic BS that stifles innovation and community growth." So the code is available on, I believe it's Robert DeVore, DeVore's website. And it does environment detection plugin deactivation, and then admin context. It deactivates it on the admin side, so you can't do anything with it. And you can't like code it back in. So, but I gotta give him some respect. The way Mullenweg has been acting, and it controls what anything we see, 45 to 50% of the internet is on WordPress. The him not making money off of WordPress.com, which is kind of what he was trying to force everyone to, from someone who's got power in the community, is I think kind of a good push to try to take it back to where it was.
Well, I can see that, and I can understand that. What I dislike is his actions automatically penalize people who have nothing to do with the fight. They just happen to be hosted at WordPress.com. They could have been there for 15 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It also forces persons using a website to actively participate in a boycott that they may or may not agree with. Now, I think it's hard to not agree that Mullenweg is being a douche and needs to stop the way he's acting, and that it's good that the development community is, like, trying to fight back any way it knows how. But I don't know. I just in this instant, wow, great bully for DeVore. What happens in the next instance, or the next instance, or the next instance? I feel like we're crossing Rubicons in the way we behave, and once crossed, it's really hard to come back from it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, he's been acting the way he's been acting for months. He threatened WP Engine's ability to even host WordPress
No
sites.
question. Oh, Christine, no question.
So,
Mullenweg is so far out of line, it's incredible.
without pushback from somebody with some power in the system, because it is an open system, I don't think anything could change. So I don't really have issue with it, except you're correct. But I think that developers could probably go in and deactivate the block. I'm not sure. Looking at the code that he's posted, I haven't gone into it in depth though. But yeah, I just think that somebody had to stand up to him, and he's being a bully, and you can't stop a bully unless you stand up to a bully. So we'll see what happens. WP Engine people are safe. Matt Mullenweg did post over the holidays that he was going to respect the lawsuit, so he has to provide WP Engine with all their WordPress support.
Oh, absolutely. I think
Yeah.
Mullenweg had the like that the fear of the courts did happen for Mullenweg, and he's
They
really
did, yeah.
mad about it.
They did, yeah. And
But
so the courts and, WordPress ecosystem standing up to him may pull him back to the, center, or they may be able to get rid of him and put in somebody else. I don't know how that happens, but I understand there's this whole thing where you could fork WordPress and make your new version or something.
sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, actually, that it was designed specifically to do that. And I think in the early days, Mullenweg even encouraged people, make a better mousetrap, see if you can do it. Now we'll see what happens.
But don't worry, this does only affects this one developer's plugins and themes, and only on WordPress.com, maybe automatic. So you could find another theme or another plugin, or ask your developers if they can disable it if you're on there. Disable to disable. Lure.
Okay, moving forward into the Googleverse. Things, by the way, listeners, things are going to get weird from here on forward. Cats are going to start hanging out with dogs. I'm not kidding. Like you see the way the stories are about to go. Cats are going to start hanging out with dogs. Up is going to be down, and a level of urgency and intensity is about to be introduced to our entire gaming board here, the environment that we work in. Level of which you're going to actually probably need to use AI just to keep up with. Here we go. Google CEO Sundar Pichai has told his employees to get their acts together and to gear up for the fight of their lives. The stakes are, when he says the stakes are high, I think he's sort of understating the urgency of Google needing to win the AI race this year, or at least to define its space in it in a much better way than it has against something like OpenAI or ChatGPT, because as Pichai pointed out, OpenAI or Chat CertGPT may well become synonymous with where search is going, just as Google for the last quarter century was synonymous with where search has been. It was a pretty intense series of statements he made, including tripling, quadrupling down on Gemini. Christine, what do you think?
I don't know. The AI, I follow a lot of the AI leaders in LinkedIn. They haven't been very high on Gemini. They think it's very kind of deficient compared to other models. So I don't know specifically on what. I'd have to get into a deep dive. I just saw it over the holiday, and I'll be honest, I wasn't doing the deep dives over the holiday. But he told employees that stakes were high and that it's not lost on me. We are facing scrutiny across the world. It comes with our size and success. It's a part of a broader trend where tech is now impacting society at scale. So more than ever, through this moment, we have to make sure we don't get distracted. So basically, but he's doing this with like 35,000 less employees, I think it was, that he axed last year, like 6% of their workforce. I don't know. I really can't tell you. We hear a lot of this from Sundar in the last 6 months, are very generalized statements talking about things they already have and then like the things they might do. But then those things come out and they've all had issues. And I think it's possible maybe he's forgetting Google is Google and pushing too hard and too fast like they're a startup and not realizing Google can't make the startup mistakes
Well,
because they're Google.
that was the I didn't use the word startup in the in my preamble and
No.
carry no, I didn't, and I didn't on purpose for the exact reason, the exact things you said, but that was the vibe I got from what he was saying, that this is that we are a startup and we need to take a startup, we need to start taking that stance and start taking that footing. And again, I didn't use that word for the exact reasons you enumerated. It's they can't be a startup, they're freaking Google.
Yeah, you can't be a startup. You also don't have the nimbleness of a startup, right? I've worked at startups. I love startups, right? Because you do all the jobs, but you form the company, right? You get to form how it's going to work from the employees to the compensation down to, the details of the programming. But as a startup, your advantage is you're nimble and quick, especially if you have funding. So you can make, but you can make mistakes because nobody knows you. Nobody's relying on you. You don't have this massive user base. But when Google makes a mistake, hundreds of millions, or if not a billion or more people, are going to see and have that mistake in their daily life. And then for a large company like that, that's a very difficult thing to overcome once people lose trust in you. And then in addition, you're not nimble and quick. You have to redo entire systems internally, to be able to do that. So not understanding that you're this massively large FAANG company that can't like turn on a dime. But trying to act like a startup that can turn on a dime and make the mistakes that you can, I think is hurting Google. They lost share for the first time this last year.
For years, we've been saying on this show that Google's only real enemy is itself. Even after, I think, even after ChatGPT introduced itself in November 2022, like over 2 years ago, Google's still only natural enemy was itself. And prediction for 2025, Google, I'm up to the SEOs start paying a lot of attention to the Bing ecosystem. Because Google may be a powerhouse at this time next year, or it may not be. A lot of stuff is going to happen in the next year. And there's a generation of users who are coming into influence now who aren't necessarily addicted to Google and don't necessarily see Google as synonymous with finding information. These are the people who we puzzled over a couple of years ago who were using TikTok for search. I still don't understand that, but they did.
It's still not, but it was like a couple years ago, right? And it's still not taken off. It's just
Well,
the past couple
but I
of years.
get it. Whether it did or didn't, whether you understand it or not, whether I understand it or not, doesn't really matter. What does matter is a subset of people started doing this, and it became functional for them. Eventually, something is going to do that and actually be long-term and stuck with and become the new thing. Google really desperately wants to own that, but it doesn't own that. It just
Right, because
wants to badly.
it's trying to copy the new kid as opposed to take what their strengths are and develop their own path.
And
That's what I'm talking to
the
their
funny
side
thing
too,
is, the new kid just did exactly that to Google when Google, released the LLM model in the first place, the kernels for the LLM model in the first place.
Yeah, and the new kid can't because they have like 100 employees. They do whatever they want. They work 20 hours a day. Like you do that at a startup, right? But Google not understanding it, it's Google. And moving it down so quickly, this path where they've made so many mistakes and already lost trust, already lost share. Like, I don't know. My feeling is Sundar is not a good CEO for Google, to be honest.
Yeah,
You know that
maybe.
I've said that before. I think there's somebody who has vision, but understands the strength of their company and could create something fantastic by also doing what no one seems to do in this industry, the AI industry, not ours, market research on what people actually want. So, I'm going to Bing more and more now because the results aren't cluttered with just stuff everywhere. AI maps have become almost unusable. AI and maps have become made them almost unusable. We'll talk about that later. So, I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, it's going to be a big year of change. Everybody should keep an eye on it. If you are someone new in the SEO industry or digital marketing, people like Gemini have. Not Gemini, Jim and I have dealt with multiple search engines for your site. If you've been in search since around 2000, what would you say, Jim? 10, 2010 and later.
Oh God, 2006, it's been all Google all the time. Everything has been
Well,
geared to
there's
Google.
a little more than that because I didn't get into conferences until 2008, and I was seeing Google and Bing and a few until
Oh
about.
no, you always had to mention the other engines. You always had to
Yeah.
mention Bing because Bing has always been there. And
But there was Lycos and Ask Jeeves even spoke at
But you know
conferences.
what? In 2000, in the year 2000 or so, when Google, and those search engines were very important, and then suddenly they weren't. It was like a light switch turned off. And then it was all Google. So
Yeah,
actually,
I think.
I said 2006. I should actually make that earlier, more like 2003, when Google popularized AdWords, and it learned to. It developed the AdSense system, so it brought webmasters into the AdWords universe, and made them all basically affiliates for Google. Nobody else mattered after that, but that's changed
I'm
now.
going to differ a little because Yahoo search was really important when I got into SEO in 2005, 2006. So there was Microsoft. It wasn't Bing at the time. There was Yahoo. There was Google. They were all kind of Google wasn't dominant until after I got into the market, like right when I got into the market. So.
Again, I actually do remember the massive multi-search universe, the seven, eight different search engines: AltaVista, Northern Lights,
Yeah.
Dogpile, Lycos, InfoSeek, etc. And we made subpages for every one of them.
Yeah, I was
With
going to say, so people who have never been in multi-search world as an SEO, pay attention to the people who have been around for a while because they have been in it. So if somebody's
here's my
starting to take
thinking.
over, you'll need new strategies and new ways
Well,
of
here's my
thinking.
thinking on Bing. Here's on here, and then I test the logic out for a second, okay? I think Google's going to continue to lose share, and it's going to lose share primarily to AI engines like Perplexity and SearchGPT. I think Bing itself as a search engine is going to gain share for researchers, people who are doing business searches. Product searches, serious research searches, who can't depend on summaries, who need to actually go and ferret out the information themselves. I think many of them are going to start, like you are, Christine, turning to Bing because they just feel better about that environment. Meanwhile, Search GPT, the Chat GPT end of things, is going to be used much more frequently to summarize stuff for people who didn't need that, didn't care about that accuracy. Either way, both of those systems are fed by Bing results. If you do well in Bing, you will tend to do
Yeah.
be cited more. And cited's a weird word. I wish our language will develop a word for being mentioned in AI that doesn't
Just say
involve
linked.
being
Just say
cited.
linked to. Linked to. Linked to.
What will you be linked to? Are you
Yeah,
guaranteed
because
of being linked to if your information is used to compose the AI
no.
response? You're not guaranteed the link, but they
That's why
will
it's
use
not
your
a
information.
citation. That's why it's not a citation.
I
I just said
know.
linked. Linked to. You'd be more likely to be linked to if you're in the top 20 of Bing.
Yeah.
On OpenAI and Perplexity, and even on DuckDuckGo, and of course Google's powered by its own by
But
its own search. Yeah.
if you start paying attention to the Bing ecosystem, and this means using Bing Webmaster Tools, like absolutely
They're
do this,
awesome.
you
Those are
will
awesome.
probably fare better in the Search GPT environment and other environments that are drawing from Bing results. So do it. Invest your time. Your chance to gain something is larger in the Bing universe right now. Still learn Google. Ranking well in Google is still going to be critically important, and Google's not going to stop being the dominant search engine. But we're all in it for wins for our clients, and there are major wins to be found over on the other side of search.
This is very true. Yeah, this is very true.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah, pay attention to it and pay attention. And Bing Webmaster Tools are fantastic because they give you a lot more information than Google does. And if you have a devaluation in Google where you've lost traffic, you can go to those Bing tools and see if you lost it there too. Because if you only lost it in Google, chances are it's a Google update issue or a Google change issue than it is that your site has a, like a major technical problem.
Yeah, it makes diagnosing weird stuff much, much, much easier. Okay, so remember about the world turning upside down and dogs hanging out with cats, that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Here we go again. So Apple wants
Yes.
in on, yes, it's great, eh? This is Christine found the story just before we went to air. This is wonderful. Apple wants to be involved in the Google antitrust case, in Google's US antitrust case. And it really wants to be involved in the penalty phase. On Google, and it wants to be involved in Google's favor. See,
Yes.
Apple stands to lose more if Google gets hurt than it does if Google remains healthy.
So here we have a company, by the way, just reached the highest, I think it's at 3 trillion now, went to 4 trillion valuation in the history of the universe, who understands it's a big company. So it doesn't want to develop a search engine. It doesn't want to spend its time and resources on that. Part of the reason it wants to be in this suit is it wants its 20 billion annual from Google. It's 20 billion a year from Google. It's not a small change, even with companies that big. It doesn't want to do a general search engine. They already have a, specific for their product search engines, but they don't want to do like a Google. And then Google, let's see, what else is in this? Barry Schwartz did excellent coverage. He listed everything important in the document, so we didn't have to read it all. Apple may can pay, already pick a different search provider, just chose not to,
Oh,
and
yeah,
it
because the other
doesn't.
search providers aren't giving it 20 billion.
Exactly. And Apple has other interests that don't want to invest in the space. So they want to be able to use Google as their search engine. And the DOJ case, calls that into question if they'd still be able to.
The DOJ case will actually allow Google to continue being their search engine if Apple selects them to be. It just won't let Google give them $20 billion for the right to be. This is just sick and funny.
It is funny. It is funny. But it is. There are things in that, we pay you 20 billion a year. It means there's contracts with lots of details that they benefit from that we may not even be privy to. So that's a little different than, well, you could still choose Google. Yeah, but now we don't have a $20 billion contract because they wouldn't be able to pay Apple to be on there anymore. So anyway, I think it's interesting. I did not expect this. This is my plot twist story of the day.
Here, what I hear is Apple is saying, we don't want to get into the search space because, oh my God, who wants to get into that headache?
Yeah, and that much money they have to spend on it and AI stuff
And
and
we want
yeah.
Google to continue being in the
Yes.
search space because, oh my God, who wants to deal with that crap? Furthermore, we want Google to continue giving us $20 billion because, oh my God. I mean, like, really, give us the money. Oh my God, we want that money. And DOJ, all that stuff that Google did, like, we really want that money. We don't want to be our own search engine. And we did we mention the $20 billion?
And
That's what I'm seeing
also,
here. That's it.
yeah, and also they'd have to spend a lot of money on hiring people to develop a search engine, and engineers are not cheap.
Well, and
So,
also, who knows what search is going to be? Like, AI
exactly.
is everything, and Apple is again saying Apple's really into that space and maybe doesn't even want to show its cards where it's actually going in that space just yet.
That's true. And just like the head of Salesforce said the same thing. They started dabbling in AI and they're like, no, we're a big old company. We'll just use everybody else's. Why are we doing this?
Yep.
So Apple seems to be saying, we don't need to do search. We pay someone, they pay us actually to do search for us. So win-win. What are you doing to us,
I
DOJ?
mean, like, seriously, Salesforce had the right idea. They just didn't have
Yeah.
somebody giving them a boatload of money not to do it.
No, they chose to do it for free.
What a world. This is a 2025, eh?
Yes. Oh,
It's going to
and
be
the stories
great.
get better from there.
Okay, this one actually makes sense. So shift your thinking, folks. This one you can understand. Google's changed its ad policy. It is now going to automatically disapprove ads that point to sites that have been dealt manual actions. That makes good sense.
Yeah, and for people who are not in the industry or new to the industry, don't know what a manual action is. Manual action is different from an algorithmic devaluation. An algorithmic situation is like core update. You can go up from that too. We always talk about the downs because those are the ones that are harmful. But I have a client, who went down. We fixed everything. He went way up. So that's different. Manual action is a human reviewer has been somehow found your site internally, or it's been reported, or whatever happens to happen, and so they do a manual action. They devalue your site. They lower your quality score, which means you won't show up in anything. This isn't the quality score SEOs talk about. It's an internal site quality score. And if you're below, I believe we found out from the Mark Cook's report last week, or something like below 4 or something, you won't show up in anything like Discover News or Google Search very well. And so this is when that happens, and you'll get a warning before you'll be suspended. You'll get 7 days to fix the situation. But I do think this is an odd one, Jim, because hasn't the theory always been part of manual actions and devaluations raise money for Google? Because if
No, well,
you're,
that's a bogus theory, though. That's a bogus theory. I mean,
yeah.
the amount of money they would get out of getting people to pay rather than be getting certain people who got manual actions to
Oh.
pay rather than be in the SERPs, it's negligible.
By the way, I'm not promoting the conspiracy theory. I just meant that Google's part of Google's severity of manual actions and core algorithm devaluations are because they get ad revenue out of it.
I had
But
a client who's products went against Google's advertising policies. They had projectile weapons as some of their products, and you're not allowed to advertise projectile weapons in AdWords. They did anyway, and they got in big trouble, like big trouble for it. In fact, they got a manual action against them that took 2 years to overcome.
oh, wow. Yeah.
So, but you know what? Honest truth. I mean, with all love to this client, and again, we've overcome the manual action. It's over. And they'll even admit it. They deserved it. They absolutely deserved it. They knew it was coming. They knew they were breaking the rules. They were trying to get around it because it was inconvenient. They weren't making as many sales, and they broke the rules, and they got badly punished for it. It hurt their business. So yeah, and but again, they agree. They deserved the punishment. Although the severity of it was pretty extreme. Don't break that rule. Like, be
No.
really careful where you point your landing page or where you point your ads, what landing pages you point them to. A hand job is hard to overcome.
Yes. Gonna leave it there. But
Yeah.
just remember you have a 7-day warning. So if you get the warning, work right away and get it done. Because if you don't have it done by 7 days, your ad account will be suspended. Yeah. Speaking of odd bedfellows.
Here we go again. Cats sleeping with dogs territory.
I have a feeling that's gonna be the title of this episode.
It may well be. That's not a bad headline. So Elon Musk is in a legal battle with ChatGPT maker OpenAI. As Musk has an AI startup of his own, X.AI, which its signature product is the AI chatbot Grok. So Musk is in a federal court in Northern California trying to block OpenAI from changing its governance structure. Currently, OpenAI is a nonprofit, and as a nonprofit, it has a number of it has a social mission it needs to fulfill, and part of that social mission is the quote unquote safe development of AI. OpenAI wants to step out of its nonprofit structure and become a for-profit company. Something actually, it's a for. I'm not sure how they call it, a for-profit or
A
public
not-for-profit.
benefits company, something like that.
There's nonprofit, not-for-profit, and for-profit.
Okay, well, they're going to be for-profit, but a public benefit company. I'm not sure where I read that, but it jumps into my mind.
Yeah, that's what they said in November, I think it was. I don't know. They filed last week to start moving into a for-profit. So I haven't gotten into all the details yet of what it means and what's the rest of the status. The rest of the status was to help to maintain the original intent.
What it absolutely means, we know for sure, is they won't have to follow their initial mission statement, which they would have to follow under the nonprofit structure.
Or the
So,
oversight board.
or an oversight board, again, the quote unquote safe development of AI. So, Elon Musk is doing anything he can to beat around OpenAI, slow them down, screw them up, mess them around because they're his major competitor.
Yeah.
He, oh, sorry.
Good.
So he's in federal court in Northern California, blocking AI from changing its governance structure. His argument is really sound. He was a donor to a nonprofit, a major donor to a nonprofit, and now he sees the governing body of that nonprofit trying to walk away from being a nonprofit, thus negating the value of that donation or the intent of the donation he made. And I think
Yeah.
that's a rather sound argument that any
And it's,
donors to nonprofits can make.
yes, and the cat sleeping with dogs part is the Progressive Tech Advocacy Organization, ENCODE, which is the one that formed after Sam Altman debacle last year, has on the side of Musk for the reasons that you're talking about. And their statement was OpenAI was founded as an explicitly safety-focused nonprofit and made a variety of safety-related promises in its charter. And this is Geoffrey Hinton, one of the originators of the whole field, former Google researcher. Hinton said in a statement released by ENCODE, allowing it to tear all of that up when it becomes inconvenient sends a very bad message to the other actors in the ecosystem. So yeah, so Musk,
Just a
I dislike most of what Musk does, but I don't know that he's wrong here. It's
well,
all.
just to sort of paint a picture of some of the actors who are in on Musk's side, and also, I guess, on ENCODE and Geoffrey Hinton's side. Morgan Stanley, the great vampire squid. And an investment fund associated with the House of Saud, the Saudi royal family. Geoffrey Hinton and the Progressive Tech Advocacy Organization, ENCODE, on one side, and OpenAI on the other. Strange bedfellows indeed. So the Attorney General for the state of Delaware, where OpenAI is incorporated, filed a brief in the case herself, saying she's talking to the company about its plans and is going to step in if she thinks it's breaking the law, which sounds a lot like Sue Collins being concerned about something.
Well, the big thing is also that OpenAI and apparently part of what she's going to look into as they told potential investors last year that they could back their company only if they committed not to invest in any rival AI developers, including Musk's. And they did get $157 billion in startup funding last year, or investment funding, where I know Musk did not get that much. I can't find the number, unfortunately, in the article anymore. But so they told everybody, it's well known, according to one of the investors, that if you invest in OpenAI, you can't invest anywhere else, which is breaking the law, I believe. So
Okay,
we'll
so
find out. That's why the judge or judge is justice is stepping in.
this stems from a filing on the Friday just after Christmas. OpenAI filed in court on the I think on the 27th, plans to adopt its new corporate structure, removing the nonprofit control, and plan to structure as a public, oh, there we go. Structure as a public benefit corporation, a PBC, a for-profit corporation designed to create public and social good. Interestingly, Anthropic and Elon Musk's X.AI use a similar PBC structure. I love 2025 already. This is, you know what? This is not the year of the snake, it's the year of the cynic. It just sounds like snake.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
So this next one we can cover very briefly, or do we
Kikius
want to?
Maximus.
Yeah, so I was watching this on, because I know you're not on there anymore, so just tell people, because I saw it happening. He changed his name a couple of Elon Musk on Twixter, we call it Twixter, changed his name a couple times this weekend. Also created a sock puppet account that tells him he's awesome on comments and spaces. It's just weird. But he also created a new name. It is Kekius Maximus. Did I say that right? Kekius
Kikius
Maximus.
Maximus, yes.
Okay. And we're going to go over really, really briefly. Kek is short for Kekistan, which started in gaming, but
No.
is now, it's been an alt-right name for
Kek
years.
is short for crap, or it's more for crap,
Right.
for poo, for gross. Kekistan is the fictional alt-right country that was created by 4chan. Because
That's
it's
it.
basically Crapistan or
Right.
Estistan. I don't want to be
Well,
kicked off
I
Disney
should have said
Channel.
short. Yeah. I should have said short for, because I don't know, in alt-right memes, they use Kek instead of Kekistan. So they're saying the same thing, but you're right. It does mean in gaming, it means crappy or whichever. So anyways, he changed his name to that, and then something that referenced something from Gladius, Gladiator 2000, Decimus Meridius, Meridius, right? Anyway, we don't know, but we do know, when you combine Kekistan and Pepe the Frog, who the creator killed off, technically, obviously can't kill off cartoon. Because of the White Nationalist Association, is now the avatar for Elon Musk on Twitter.
Yeah, well, and tech is hard far right. It's you
It's
don't
all
use
right.
that
It's white
phrase
nationalist. Yeah.
unless you're hard far right, white nationalist. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kikius Maximus.
That's what it means. So now we can move on.
Yeah, by the way, Elon Musk shouldn't screw with Latin. I mean, I shouldn't screw with Latin. I'm terrible with Latin, but I'm better with that language than Elon Musk is. It's
I am not.
offensive.
Yeah, it is offensive. Well, it's totally offensive what is written. And anyone can look up the history on the Southern Poverty Law Center of the name if they want to. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Yours, go for it. AGI. I'm not even going with AGI.
So there's this big debate. Also, which one? Wait, which one? Yeah, okay. There's a big debate about whether OpenAI
They
achieved
cheated. I'm sorry,
AGI.
I gotta do it. I'm sorry, I gotta
That's
do it. They cheated. There's no debate. They cheated. It's like that guy in the bass fishing competition
Yes.
who put lead weights in the stomach of his bass. They
Yeah.
cheated. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, basically. Yeah, so there's a stack, what do I say? What, I can't think of the name of it right now. Stack whatever. Stack Overflow article from Gary Marcus, is one of the originators in this field, about the details of this. If you want to get into all of it, we don't have time today to do it all. We'll have to another show for that. But basically, OpenAI took this test called ARC-AGI, It's not even really an AGI test that people at the company admit on their own page about this test, but it's basically the first inklings that you're going to AGI. And the simplest definition of what is AGI, it's being able to think outside what you trained on and do instantaneously be able to like change what you're doing, right? So I put my coffee together this morning and I put in some sweetener that I like, but let's say I didn't have that sweetener, I was gone. I could then go find something else that was sweet, like honey, and put it in there. That's a human decision. It's instant. We know we change our plans, whatever. AGI cannot do that. It has to be, I mean, sorry, LLMs, let's not use the word AI, cannot do that. They just are predictive models. So OpenAI said, no, we've done it. We've passed this ARC test with 87%, and we are now AGI. And everybody in the AI universe went, what are you talking about? And when they found out that they used the public training data, which you can use, but not to pass the AGI test, they used 75% of the public training data. And so when they actually reduced the score to the untrained amount, it was like 17%,
So
which meant they
basically,
didn't score that highly at all. Yeah. And he's done this
they
before.
told their bot what to do before taking the test,
Yes.
basically by training it on the training material,
Yes.
and then gave the test to take.
Yes. So it did better on predictive modeling, but it didn't do anything close to AGI. And they've done this before. Remember the Soros was first released with the balloon floating everywhere, and then you found out it was actually created by a
Yeah,
creator.
I'm
Yeah.
Google did this itself.
Or maybe
Tried
it
to
was
fob
Google,
off a
yeah.
bunch of Gemini. No,
Yeah.
it was Soros who I think it was Soros who originally did the they
Balloon.
cheated. Google cheated with a number of their AI announcements, and now we have OpenAI waiting the game, so to speak. And again, I liken it. This very much reminds me of that Bass Fisher guy last year in 2024, when such scams were, a little more quaint, who stuffed lead weights down the stomach of the bass he claimed to catch. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, so basically, they didn't, there's no AGI, and they didn't come close to AGI. They have a 17% on the test. You can find that on the arcprize.org site, ARCPRIZE.org site. And you can also read Gary Marcus about this. But no, they didn't pass the test. It's not AGI. So we can move on to what is the definition of AGI we found out from leaked documents.
Well,
Yeah.
AGI and the problem. I don't believe in this definition of AGI. AGI and human intelligence are incredibly different things. Computerized intelligence is always going to be responding to any number of pre-programmed inputs, but it has to know these things exist before it can know to. The computers don't have instinct. They will never have instinct.
But the thing is, this isn't even about intelligence. The leaked documents show OpenAI and Microsoft decided that AGI between them is the first system that can get at 100 billion in profits. That's the definition for OpenAI and Microsoft.
Oh, well, actually, you know what? This is 2025. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly, right? So all this AGI, I mean, granted, don't get me wrong, the AI world, the leaders in it have their very differing, but at least in the same vector of definitions of AGI. No one has this being it, except apparently the leaked documents between OpenAI and Microsoft are, if they can make 100 billion in profits, then that's AGI, which makes no sense, literally. So I don't think we need to belabor the point. It's silly. But that's good to know. If you just make 100 billion in profits, you can declare yourself AGI. So that's
So pretty soon Taylor Swift is going to be AGI.
exactly. She's already AGI, isn't she?
No, she's just a billionaire. She hasn't made a hundred
Oh,
billion
okay,
yet, but she's
fine.
on her
Sorry, go
way. I mean, they say the first billion's the hardest.
ahead. Well,
And we will hit AGI one day, but again, it's not anyone who compares AGI with actual human intelligence is selling you a bill of goods.
a balloon head floating through the crowd.
Something like that.
Read Gary Marcus if you want to know the current state. He's one of the originators of large language models. He's also a fair critic of the industry. He admits when people do stuff good, and he talks when people don't. So
Okay, well,
his latest article is about this.
I wonder if Gary's canceled his Facebook account or not. Somebody should go check.
I don't know, but he did at one point. He was going to cancel his Twitter, but I don't know if he did or not.
I could see him wanting to cancel his Meta or Facebook account in the future because Facebook is about to get enshittified in a way that nobody saw coming. Okay, so according to an interview in the Financial Times towards the end of 2024, Mark Zuckerberg announced plans to allow the creation and deployment of artificial intelligence generated characters throughout the Meta universe of Facebook and Instagram, and the 3D modeling world that they've also got going, the metaverse. There's lots of AI profiles with their own back histories and personalities and interests, and they're about to hit your feed like nobody's business. And maybe you've already noticed them because my feed is full of bogus stuff.
It's just full of so much junk lately. By the way, I have to say this line from San Francisco Gate magazine. If you thought Shrimp Jesus signaled the slow, inevitable decay of Facebook, the social media platform is about to get much, much worse, reports suggest. So I had to go look up Shrimp Jesus. I somehow missed this. And part of what Meta created was a Jesus with shrimp arms all over its body. And people are now worshiping Shrimp Jesus. So the enshittification has begun. And like you said, as of today, you're gonna get a whole bunch of these fakes. The one thing I don't think, and I wrote a thing on LinkedIn about this today, they don't understand is people, like, they're competing with TikTok as their big thing. People go to TikTok because it's authentic, right? The algorithms give you who you want to see, people you follow, except then they're trying to push a narrative. And you just hear people talking and singing and dancing, and they're just there talking to the camera, and it's all authentic people, giving their opinions or, dancing for you or giving you some thoughts or music, lots of music on there. And I don't think, because Zuck never created something, he didn't create Facebook. He doesn't know how to do it. So he just comes up with these things. And I don't know. I don't foresee these being very welcome, given how much everyone hates the feed right now. But what do you think?
I think it's a terrible idea. I think
Okay.
that Shrimp Jesus should have reminded Mark Zuckerberg of some line in Revelations where they talk about the creation and worshiping of false idols. And I really think that alone should have given him the pause to say, "Oh my God, this is a stupid idea." I see those Facebook shorts. The little teeny short videos, 1 to 3 minute long videos that they're 30 second to 1 minute long videos they're putting in Facebook now. And I imagine that's the area that's going to be most overpopulated by fake AI crap. And I got to tell you, I'm annoyed. I'm absolutely annoyed by this. Facebook is, I don't see stuff from my friends anymore. I don't see stuff from other colleagues in the industry that I'm really interested in. Facebook used to be a news source for me, for within the industry at any rate. Ain't useful for that anymore. I
It's
don't even know
really
why I'm
not.
on Facebook anymore, to be honest, except to
Well,
communicate with people.
that's why I'm on there, because my friends, also I do still get some news, but in where I live in Las Vegas, everyone coordinates on Facebook. So
Well,
that's why I
yeah.
stay on there.
But
But,
honest to
and
God,
also all over the world. What's
I
that?
got the damn thing open in on the side all the time. Like it's always open in a tab. It mightn't be a working tab, but it's always there, inflating their numbers every second of my working day. And I hate the environment almost as much as I hate LinkedIn.
Yeah, the weird thing about the Facebook, it's gotten so bad, is like I get clickbait articles are always like the first two, three things. I just skip now. They're just, filled with ads or made for ads, AdSense. But I don't even get to a friend post until it's like from 5 or 10 minutes into the scroll, or I go to the right on desktop and click unread. But it's just bad. And filling it with AI, they keep trying to get the younger generation is what they're trying to do, right? Because younger generations always seem to reject the tech of the older generation. That's how it's been working for the last, 100 years. But you're not going to get them because you created silly AI characters to talk to. You might find some lawsuits out of that, I think. But I don't know. I don't need any more junk in my feed. I don't need any more junk in my search. I don't need any more junk on my phone. It's like you're just, no one does market research. Sure.
Here's my one defense of this. And I don't know if it's a good defense or not, okay? I'm just winging it. It's coming to my mind right now. But it was picked on something you just said. Young people do reject the clunky ass ways that us old people communicate. They were really useful for us, but the young people have found even more efficient ways of doing it. And one of those ways is the creation of their own AI avatars to represent them out there on the greater web. And I think that Zuckerberg is anticipating actual AI agents being our living, breathing representatives out there, and creating the space for that to happen. And you know what? That might actually be a way better, a way that I can do th literally be in three places at the same time.
Except, except the thing is, the younger generation is rejecting a lot of the tech completely. Not just like, they use less apps, they use less social, they use less. So I don't know. I think TikTok is done so well because it's authentic, and nobody in the FANG seems to understand people want authentic, not AI stuck everywhere. I could be wrong. That's just my
We'll see.
sociologist brain, but that's what I think is going on. But we'll
Yeah.
see. We'll see. I think
The
I don't think he doesn't know what to
results
do.
of the most recent election suggest different to me, but we'll see what happens. You know,
Yeah.
people want what they want, and they want it for their convenience.
They do. I just don't think they want these AI things stuffed into Facebook. And I don't think they're ever going to want the AI things stuffed into Facebook. Maybe
Well,
somebody creates an AI agent avatar for you,
if it
but
makes it
not.
easier for them to do something, they'll use it. And again, that's the one use case I can make. And actually, the more I think about it, it's actually a really strong use case.
Except they're not doing it for that. They're just doing it for conversations and engagement.
Well, certainly. But
Yeah.
where's it going to be next year or the year after? I mean, Zuckerberg isn't introducing something because he expects it to take off this year. He's introducing something because it's going to build over time.
Yeah, but so far he's 0 for 0 for
A lot of
that.
them are. A
Is
lot of them
it?
are. Google's introduced how many products that didn't work the way they expected them to? Innumerable. I can't even think of the number. But one of them will stick. You know?
I just don't think it'd be the same. But anyway, so we got to move into some SEO stuff quick because I know we're running out of time shortly.
Yep. Okay.
Google Search Console screenshot when you do a live test and you get the image of the page. That's pretty much what Google sees, but with the caveat that Google's crawler does a 22,000 tall pixel window when it renders a page, and you and I both know in Google Search Console you don't get even a third of that most likely. So what you see is what they're seeing, but it doesn't mean they're seeing the whole page. The best thing you can do is use programs like Screaming Frog and screenshot your pages and look at those to see how Google sees the whole page.
Certainly. How to say this? What Google does show you is the important stuff, the salient stuff, the stuff that's like right up front. Shows you the meta information that it sees in this view, and
Yeah.
all of that is really, really, really useful.
Well, I'm just talking about the screenshot alone, just where it shows you the top of the page and you look at it to see what they're rendering. That stops really quickly. It doesn't have much length to it. It's very short. So I don't want people to think when they look at that Google's only seeing that part of the page. They're not seeing up to 22,000 pixels tall.
Does Google consider that entire frame that they're looking at?
Yeah, when they do the render phase, people often forget that Google doesn't interact with the page. So they render to 22,000 pixels tall if it needs that much space, and then they look at everything on the page. So if
And
your page
extract
is
whatever fit,
blank,
yeah.
then Google knows that your text isn't showing, right? So your text may be there for you, but isn't there for Google in the code or in the crawl. I also notice sometimes people do parts of their page with JavaScript, so just parts won't show up, and sometimes those are really important parts. So that's why I say use like Screaming Frog as their crawler that takes a screenshot of every page, because then you can see the entire page and you can see if Google can render it all. But in the live test, it's really good to see, is Google rendering in the page at all, or is it rendering the top content at all? Because if it's not doing that, it's not doing it on the rest of the page either.
Okay,
Yeah.
three Google local things all at the same time.
Go.
Well, two Google local and one, you know, Google Stores thing. Google local, if Google will show you similar stores nearby when you're now doing a search for something or another that you found on Google local. So you found, say, a grocery store, Google will show nearby stores as well, giving you more options.
Without the map pack. So the initial render shows no map pack. You have to click in to get the map pack. By the way, I got this past weekend. It was a horrible experience.
Harder to use than before.
Oh, much harder. Everything about Google Maps, apparently I've gotten all the updates, is much harder. It's total shittification of Google Maps, which used to be a very good product. Now I have to click in and double, and the map gets lost and it loses what I'm looking at, and then it adds things I'm not looking. It's just horrible. Everything about it is awful, and this was particularly horrible. And I didn't know this had been released until we did the prep for the show today, but I got it this weekend. And I'm like, what the heck happened? I don't even know what it's showing me here. It's just like nearby stores, and then you just get some items on a map that aren't where I'm looking, and then once you click into it, you get the map pack. So I
Maybe
was trying to find it was open is what I was trying to find. So
and okay, and Google just didn't give you the information you needed fast enough, huh?
well, I couldn't, like, normally when you do a search, right, and you want to see on Christmas Eve how late are the stores open, it gives you a list of that store and where it is nearby to you, and you can see the hours. But I couldn't. I just got whoops on a map, and then they weren't even where I was searching, and they weren't close to me because sometimes my phone blips off of California. And it was not useful. I couldn't even figure out at first what I was supposed to do. There's not even good UI with it. So then I clicked into the map to see if it would like expand and show me something. Then I got the map pack. I'm just looking for hours. I don't need to go through a three-step experience on Google. It's just Google's just totally just for me personally as a searcher. I don't mean as an SEO. The shittification of Google makes me go more and more to other products because I just can't find anything.
Well, I bet she's going to do that to you as an SEO in the near future, too.
That too.
So maybe Google was just trying to make space for another experiment they seem to be working on, the Google Local Places People Are Talking About feature that they're testing,
Saw that too.
in which Google goes and trolls through social media to find videos or reviews or stuff about the thing that you're looking at on Google Maps, or Google
Yeah,
Local.
it
Yeah,
has
eh?
like from social, so it's not even from maps. And it's like, people are talking about this restaurant. Why do I care that people are talking? Like, it's not like people talked about it in the past, here the reviews. It's like here on Instagram, people talked about this restaurant in the last whatever period of time that they're pulling these from. And it's like it just takes up more space on my phone that I don't need. Like, if I'm going to a restaurant, I've already done the reviews. I already know what the restaurant is. I don't need to see who talked about it on Facebook or Instagram. And by the way, if I'm not logged into either of those things, I can't look at it anyway. So, yeah, this is just more Google just shoving AI everywhere. And it's just, to me, is not positive. I could be wrong. But when I ask people in my area, it's not a technical area, about these new features, they mostly agree. I don't put any opinion in. I just say, what do you think? And they mostly find them that they're just congesting the space. But if there's a big event going on or something, but I live in a town with 3,500 restaurants. I don't need to know what people are talking about. And but generally, if they're talking about it, it's because something bad just happened there, not because the food.
Well, actually, I can imagine for a town like Vegas, that actually could get pretty crowded pretty quickly with tourists having this amazing food experience. Because Vegas
Exactly.
is known for, like, if you're going to Vegas, you're going to gamble or go to shows, or you're a foodie who wants to go and have like some mouth orgasm that they have to write about on social media later. Could you imagine how crowded that's going to get?
Oh yeah, I really just don't understand the purpose of this of pulling in a video with a title and how many people liked it for someone's post on. Again, this is someone trying to copy TikTok and not understanding why people go to TikTok. I use TikTok all the time. I'm aware of its risks. I'm aware of what it's doing, and if it goes away, I'll be sad, but I understand why. But at the same time, this isn't TikTok by pulling in a bunch of Instagram posts and saying people are talking about this. It just
Gemini
takes up.
is everywhere.
Gemini is everywhere. It's going to
Gemini
get
is
worse.
sitting behind you right now, watching you while you're sleeping. Gemini knows when you're awake. You better be good.
exactly. So we have a couple of quick ones. We're gonna try to fit these in.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have image inventory in your Google Ad space, you can now edit those images using AI. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I mean, just remember when you use AI for an image that you no longer have copyright of it. So be careful what you are editing. So,
So
but
if I go in and say put a mustache on every face, or put googly eyes on every face, I will lose copyright?
Yeah, because AI has now created the image. If it's a lot of the image, I don't know if you'll lose full. That's all for the courts. By the way, there was a town in America. I know this is totally random, but they had to put out an edict to tell people to stop putting Google Eyes on the statues around town.
I know those people are my heroes. Like,
I love that.
seriously, I love those people.
Oh, the photo's hilarious. So yeah, so it's good though. It's good. A lot of people just have stock photos anyway, so.
Okay. I don't even
Google,
know. Yeah, go for it.
oh,
Please, I'm not sure I understand the story.
which one?
Google Ads leads from message beta conversion goals.
Yeah, it's just telling you that there's a message. Leads messages. It's a new thing in Google, and it just you can add it as a conversion goal, so that someone came from a message as opposed to. Now, I don't
So
know
what's
where
the
the message
message?
is being left. You'd ask the person who doesn't do ads. I don't know. Where that message comes from? Assuming Gmail, like Google Messages or something, but
Well, I'm wondering
doesn't say.
who's going to be communicating in the message in message mode. Who's going to be doing most communicating in message mode? Google chatbot, Gemini chatbot, that too.
Apparently, from your yeah, apparently from your account, you can make a an ad that will have a message component, and it will come from there. Okay.
Interesting.
Google search ads titled Find Related Products and Services. So Google's looking for a new way to hide that things are sponsored. That's just my personal opinion. And it says at the top of the it looks like a people also ask. It says sponsored in tiny text and then find related products and services in large text. And then it has basically ads, which when you click on the topic, phones for kids as an example here, it goes to another search, which opens up even more ads. Oh, they've done this several times for in different products in different ways. You remember that? It always seems to die on the vine where they open up another search because AI was going to work like that too, right? So they open up another search and then the new search has ads. And if you click on another one of these, you would get another search.
That's what I was just thinking of, actually, and I'm guessing again they're testing to make space for exactly that.
Yeah, it's just it never has worked. Every time they say they're going to roll it out, it doesn't make it through testing. And I know why, because it's completely and utterly confusing. So that's it. That's that one. And then I think covered all those. And then the biggest story that and
Most
this one
important story of the week.
is Bing test squared off search bar instead of rounded. And I will tell you though, as someone who's starting to use Bing, don't do this. You just the rounded is
What,
calming and
they're blowing your
chill.
aesthetic?
Yeah, it's calming and chill. It just looks the rounded just looks, it's just friendly. And yes, I know it sounds silly, but the people spend, we know Google spent 6 months on a blue button once. It's because they do give people emotions and feelings. The squared off box is just kind of dated looking. So that was the biggest story of the year though.
Okay, well.
Only day two, so there'll be bigger stories.
Indeed. Okay, this was day two of 2025. We will be back to
Yes.
you on day nine. It'll be weirder, we promise.
Well, going to be a year of change, years of dogs and cats living together.
Well, it's definitely going to be. I don't know about the dogs and cats living together. I think they're trying to get along right now. We'll see exactly how long that lasts. I got a feeling those dogs and cats are going to try to cozy up to each other and then start fighting like cats and dogs. This is
Yeah,
going to be
so
2025.
it'll grow into leopards eating faces. But
Oh, actually, that's already going down in the worst of ways. But that's a story to cover in some other time when we actually see how all of this plays out.
yes. By the way, before we go, we should tell people what was the original reference for dogs and cats? Because I bet there's a whole bunch of people who have no idea what we're talking about. Do
Oh,
you remember?
I'm
Like a
drawing it from
poem or the song
Ghostbusters.
or something?
No, I'm
That's
drawing it
it.
from Bill Murray in Ghostbusters, where he's talking
That's
about
it.
the apocalypse that's about to hit New York City because Pencil Neck over there couldn't get his act together.
That's right. I couldn't remember where it came from, but it was something that was set off. And I just imagine some of the younger people are like, what are they talking about, cats and dogs?
Well, cats and dogs. Well, it's about to rain like cats and dogs fighting each other. Let me mix my metaphors for you. Okay, friends, you have been through a whirlwind hour and a bit of the first webcology of the second quarter of the 21st century. It's going to be a wild year, We're really looking forward to covering it. I'm not so sure we're looking forward to covering what we're going to be covering, but we're going to be covering it. On behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcasts at WMR.FM on the 2nd of January, 2025. Be well, be kind to each other, get those mentions in AI overviews, rank well. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.